Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host, Michael Ritter, and today I'm going to be covering the SmackDown that took place on October 16th, 2020, the season premiere of SmackDown, the first episode following the 2020 WWE Draft. We got a good look at the whole roster at the beginning of the show. Actually, they kind of were all out there standing around, but not all of them were out there. So I'm going to go ahead and read you off the updated and complete SmackDown roster. As far as I know, it is Aleister Black, Angelo Dawkins, Apollo Crews, Big E, Buddy Murphy, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Dominic Mysterio, Kalisto, Kevin Owens, King Corbin, Lars Sullivan, Jey Uso, Montez Ford, Otis, Rey Mysterio, Robert Roode, Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Chad Gable. As far as the women go, it is Bayley, Bianca Belair, Billie Kay, Carmella, Liv Morgan, Natalya, Nia Jax, Ruby Riott, Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, I guess Shayna and Nia, because they are the tag team champions, they go back and forth, but if I do remember correctly, they are, actually got drafted to Raw, so I'm not sure why they're listed there, but Tamina and Zelina Vega are also on there. As far as the tag teams go, they have the Mysterios, Robert Roode and Ziggler, the Street Profits, who are the champions, and Shinsuke and Cesaro. So really only three teams, including the tag team champions, because I don't really count the Mysterios as a tag team. Rey's injured. It actually says injured next to his name here on the roster, so I'm not really sure what they're going to do with only three tag teams. That alone tells you all you need to know about the current tag team division. But for the most part, that is the SmackDown roster. That's what we're working with here. I actually really like it. I like the Roman Reigns pick, obviously. Seth Rollins coming over from Raw, that's a huge one. Kevin Owens getting Lars Sullivan, to see what they do there. Big E and his singles push, that being on SmackDown is going to be awesome. I love Aleister Black, so I'm actually pretty excited about this SmackDown roster going forward. Looking forward to reviewing them every week here with you guys on the WWE Podcast. Welcome again for joining. I'm really excited. If you guys are first time listening here, you can follow me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter. And real quick about that, guys, I want to go ahead and get it in very quickly. I have enough time here on these episodes every week to squeeze in possibly like a mailbag segment or something like that, where obviously I don't have access to the voicemail that Matt uses for his shows all the time, where you guys call in and leave voicemails. But what you can do is maybe message me on Twitter, at me on Twitter, whatever, however you want to get a hold of me, and ask me a question. It's just a thought, a comment, complaint, whatever you want to do. I will get you on the show, or at least get your question on the show, and respond to you that way. So, I don't know, just something to think about. If you guys do have anything you want to ask or anything like that, I'm totally open to feedback. I mean, whatever kind of feedback it is, if it's criticism, whatever, I'm open to all sorts of stuff like that. So if you guys want to follow me on Twitter or You can email Matt at realwwpodcast@gmail.com, and he can relay it to me, or leave him a voicemail, whatever, however you want to do it. We can make that happen, but I just wanted to let you guys know that. But as far as today goes, I'm definitely going to be getting to the SmackDown review, obviously. But before that, I kind of wanted to introduce myself a little bit to you guys. I didn't really get to do that on the previous two episodes because, well, last week I wanted to do it then, but because obviously Matt was doing the crossover with the Botch guy, I wasn't sure, this being an alternate SmackDown review last week, how many people were actually going to be listening to it. I mean, not doubting you guys whatsoever, but I just wasn't sure. I wanted to wait and maybe do it on a Friday where this was the sole SmackDown review, so maybe more people would actually get to know a little bit about my wrestling fandom, or how I became a wrestling fan, all that good stuff. I just kind of wanted to fill you guys in on that a little bit. So I will kind of just let you guys know how it started. First off, I have a weird tendency of whenever I do tune into wrestling for the first time or for the first time in a long time, I always tune into really good or impactful moments, you could say. For starters, I started watching wrestling kind of in the late 90s, but I was actually a WCW guy. Not by choice. That's just what so happened to be on my TV. That's what my parents put on. I was only like 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8 years old, so I didn't really get to pick what exactly I got to watch. So WCW, what was on TV, and what's kind of weird to think about now is actually the very first match that I ever saw when I was introduced to wrestling was Sid Vicious versus Scott Steiner in WCW. And some of you might already know what I'm talking about just by hearing that, but it was actually the match where Sid Vicious landed on his left leg and it just completely just snapped in half. Pretty similar to what actually happened to the Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott this last weekend. It was just a, you know, pretty sick visual. I still remember it to this day, seeing it live. So that right there was my introduction to wrestling. So, I mean, needless to say, I was pretty intrigued and wanted to keep watching. So I did. I kept watching WCW up until, obviously, it went out of business, and I never knew anything about that. Just no one obviously told me. There wasn't any social media at the time. I was still a really little kid, so I had no idea what even happened. Just one day it was gone. And, you know, my parents never really told me what happened, but one day I was talking to some people in school, and they were referencing WWF at the time. I always knew about it. I always knew there was another wrestling thing. Some of my friends watched it, but I never really did until I started hearing about some of the WCW guys like joining the WWE, and that kind of led me to start watching around the 2001-2002 time, like right at the beginning of the Ruthless Aggression era, whenever it was just in that transition from the Attitude Era. So I came right around the beginning of then, and like I said on the previous episode, but for those who didn't hear, I was a Raw guy. I didn't get to watch SmackDown growing up, so I was really hooked on Raw during the Ruthless Aggression era, with Evolution, Goldberg showing up, Shawn Michaels, Kane. There was a lot of people on Raw who really kept me interested every single week. So the Ruthless Aggression era will for sure always be the golden time for at least my fandom. I'm well aware that the Attitude Era is the best era in WWE history, but just me specifically, I am a huge fan of that Ruthless Aggression era, as many of you are too. So I get to talk about it on this show every now and then. I really enjoy that. But anyway, I kept watching wrestling from 2002 till about 2007, right around that time. That's kind of whenever I stopped for whatever reason. I mean, obviously started getting a little bit older, started getting drawn into more other sports. Wrestling was just not the same. A bunch of stars were leaving. So the whole thing was, I mean, they were going in the PG era, so it really just, it wasn't as interesting to me, I guess you can say. So I stopped watching around, you know, 2007, 2008, and I did not really peek back at all. Every now and then, of course, WrestleMania season, you kind of peek your head in the door and see what's going on. But that really didn't happen for me at all up until about 2014, I believe. And this is what was, like I said earlier, I have a tendency to watch in, or whenever I tune back in for the first time, it's usually a pretty impactful moment in whatever's going on in that time. And the weird part about this one is I was just at home one night scrolling through the channels. It was a Monday night, and I see Monday Night Raw is on the TV. So I say, yeah, what the hell? I click on it, and the actual segment that is on whenever I change it. Keep in mind, I had no idea who any of these people were. I just knew it was wrestling, so I wanted to watch it. But it was actually the segment when Seth Rollins turned on Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in The Shield. So I got to see when Seth hit him with the chair and started attacking him. Obviously, I knew who Triple H was, so I kind of just right then got interested. I was like, man, I mean, I definitely want to tune in next week. So that's kind of what happened is I slowly started to regain my interest. I was learning a little bit more about the people. And this was sometime in 2014. I want to say mid to the end of 2014. And I was kind of in and out every week just watching wrestling whenever I could. But it really didn't pick back up until the Royal Rumble. When I went to one of my buddies' house, they had actually got it. He had the network. And at this point, I still really didn't even know what the WWE Network was. When I found out about that, I was extremely excited, mainly because of the vault and all the old stuff that they have in it. So that's a whole nother topic. But we went over there to my friend's house, watched the Royal Rumble, and it was the one when Roman Reigns won. So, obviously, I became a Roman Reigns fan. And I cheered for him all the way up until still to this day. I'm still a Roman Reigns fan, even whenever everybody was booing him. I understood. Don't get me wrong. I understood why they were booing him with the booking and them just WWE forcing Roman Reigns down our throats. I completely understood why the fans were booing him every night. It was just one of those things that he had a lot to do with me coming back into wrestling. So I kind of always had that little attachment where I'm going to root for him no matter what. Heel, babyface, it doesn't really matter. I know he's in probably his best role that he's been in a very, or at least probably since The Shield and they debuted. This is the hottest Roman Reigns has been, and I'm loving it. But that's pretty much what brought me back, guys, is, or at least that's the timeline for my fandom. Been watching since that 2015 Royal Rumble every week. Haven't really missed anything at all as far as Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views go. But that is my timeline, guys. I kind of wanted to catch you guys up on that and let you guys at least know the type of wrestling fan I am, why I'm a wrestling fan, and about how long I've been one. But we will now turn our attention to why you guys are here, and that is for Friday Night SmackDown. Alright, so turning our attention here to Friday Night SmackDown, it was a pretty jam-packed show, just as far as trying to squeeze in a lot of the start of storylines, possibly, with The Miz and Otis, possibly Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins. And we will see what happens with both of those. But to start the night, like I said, they had all the wrestlers out on the stage. with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon in the ring, they begin to kind of introduce people, the marquee draft picks such as Kevin Owens, Aleister Black, the Street Profits. And after they announce the Street Profits, they kind of just, you know, are doing their usual shtick with, you know, lifting up their solo cups and dancing, all that. And they get cheap-shotted from behind by Ziggler and Rude, however, which leads to an all-out brawl with all the members of the roster that were on the stage. They make their way to the ring. People are just going crazy. People are jumping outside of the ropes. Kevin Owens has a nice little spot where he does a front flip and takes out Cesaro, and I think it was Shinsuke Nakamura. But anyway, before the action stops, or the brawl, I should say, Lars Sullivan's music hits, and he comes out to the ring and starts immediately wreaking havoc and destroying everybody in his sight. He just clears out the ring pretty quick, but after he does that, you see Jeff Hardy attack him from behind, which leads to their match that's immediately followed by, or that immediately followed the commercial break. Which, about this match, you know, I really wasn't sure what to think about it. When I saw, just going back to Monday Night Raw a little bit, whenever Jeff Hardy and Seth Rollins were in the ring, and Seth Rollins actually told Jeff Hardy that he had a match with Lars Sullivan this Friday on SmackDown, that right there threw me off. Just because, for one, what the hell? Like, Jeff Hardy is on Raw. He was drafted on Raw. I don't understand what the deal is, why he had to fight Lars Sullivan. I mean, the way Seth said it, it was like a punishment. Like, yeah, well, you have to fight Lars Sullivan this Friday. And Jeff was just kind of like, oh, like, really? Wow. He didn't say, like, what, like, why? Why do I have to fight Lars? So they gave us no explanation on that. I really was not sure why they brought Jeff back to SmackDown. But this match was shockingly competitive. Jeff actually got more offense in than I expected going into the match, just basing it off of how Lars was the last time we saw him in the ring, which was a pretty dominant wrestler. Guys really didn't get that many chances to get offense in on him. I actually remember in particular him destroying the Lucha House Party for months, or at least weeks at a time. But Jeff was able to get some offense in, and as many times as he knocked Lars Sullivan down, he was never down for too long. Jeff really never got to take full control of the match, and Lars eventually puts him away, which hopefully puts him away all the way to Raw, and I hope he stays there. I don't want to see people coming back and forth. But one thing I will say, because there is a little bit of that happens on this episode, where there's Raw people that are staying over there, sometimes they address it. I don't think they did in this particular one with Jeff Hardy, but I will say real quick, it is kind of hard. I will give the WWE at least the benefit of the doubt for the pandemic, only because both shows are taped in Orlando every week. So when you have access to both stars, I mean, I personally wouldn't, because I know how important it is and the benefits that come from a true brand split. So I would do everything I could to keep that intact. But I feel like once the shows, and again, we never know when this is going to happen, but once the shows get back on the road and they're each doing their own kind of little tour thing, which I'm not sure how they do that anymore anyways, if Raw has their own tour, if SmackDown does, but I'm just guessing that once things go back to somewhat normal, that maybe we will see them kind of stay true to their brands. Like I said, they actually acknowledged it with a few other wrestlers that were on Raw. They acknowledged that this is their last match, quote unquote, on SmackDown. I don't think they did it with Jeff Hardy, so that's something that you can count on me definitely paying attention to going forward. I am going to call them out whenever they do this type of stuff, because it's just, I mean, it bothers me. But anyway, like I said, Lars gets the win. A little more competitive than I thought, but nonetheless, he gets the win. And after that, we have New Day's Farewell to SmackDown match. And I understand this one a little bit. just because, well, for one, they actually told us last week. They told us that the New Day was going to get this match. So we already knew it was happening. I'd much rather that happen than just get thrown like Sheamus. Sheamus is on Raw, and he was just thrown in this match to make it 3-on-3. Didn't really understand that, but they did acknowledge it on the announced team. Michael Cole and Corey Graves, I believe, both said that this was his last appearance on SmackDown. So it was the New Day, all three members, versus Sheamus, Shinsuke, and Cesaro. New Day actually cut an emotional promo before this match started. Seemed kind of a little too scripted for me. I mean, I wasn't really trying to look at it from that way, but just, you know, I'm a sucker for a good, true promo, especially whenever someone, I was looking forward to this. I was like, man, are they actually going to, I mean, I want to know kind of how, especially with Kofi and Xavier both kind of somewhat being good on the mic. I was hoping that maybe we might get a pretty good, you know, last promo from them, but I don't know, it was just kind of cheesy. Maybe just it was that overdue, them splitting up, that I just was already like, all right, let's just do this already. I was looking at it from maybe that perspective. I'm not really sure, but it was an emotional promo nonetheless, just a little underwhelming for me. But like I said, Sheamus, unexpectedly, Raw superstar in this match. He actually took the pinfall from New Day, or from Big E here. But I will say, regarding Big E in this match, the quote-unquote momentum changed every time he got in the ring. He looked like he was moving at a different speed than everyone else in the match, which is, I feel like, a good indication that he's ready for his singles run, because I guess you want to see that. And I'm also, I know that Kofi and Xavier are both coming off an injury, so that might have a little bit something to do with them looking a little bit slower, and Big E just looking in mid-season form, you can say. But I did like seeing that. I'm excited to see what Big E does. I feel like he's going to get a pretty big push here now that he is finally going to be by himself on SmackDown without the tag team of Xavier and Kofi standing by his side every week. So we'll see exactly what this does to Big E. But I can speak for myself and probably a lot of other people when they say that they are so ready to see how he does on his own. But moving on here, we have a backstage interview, or at least we start to get one, with Kayla Braxton talking to Otis. And she attempts to ask him about the lawsuit with The Miz, but she almost instantly gets interrupted by Sami Zayn, who cuts an excellent heel promo here. He references Otis being, or not being used to speaking for himself, because his former tag team who spoke for him got moved to Raw. He also references Mandy Rose going to Raw, insinuating that Otis always loses. And he says that he'll likely lose this lawsuit to The Miz as well. Sammy does say that there are winners in this world, as he holds up his Intercontinental Championship, and says that, let me see if I'm reading this correctly. Oh yeah, there are winners and there are Otises. And after he says that, Otis just pushes him back. He doesn't say anything. Probably because he already knows that, I mean, he just got owned on the mic. I actually kind of feel sorry for Otis. He's never been, you know, the best on the mic. And the first two people he gets thrown against as a singles wrestler are The Miz and Sami Zayn. Two people who are known to just cut promos. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to hang there, obviously. I mean, he was at the point of where he was at a loss for words. So all he could really do was shove Sammy down. I'm not really sure if we can really look into this as the start of a program between those two. I guess we'll see what happens maybe next week or something. But real quick, can we please get that Money in the Bank off of Otis? I mean, I just don't really know. Maybe they're just kind of leaving it on him to maybe have him, I don't know, maybe sit on it, not like any type of, I don't mean that in a rude way at all, just him basically keep the Money in the Bank occupied but not occupied to where it's not really at the forefront of our attention, and maybe they can break it out to or around the Royal Rumble time, somewhere around there, and keep it going there. I'm hoping that they have plans for it, but right now it is just, I mean, it's not even a factor. Every week you see it and it's a little lunchbox or the briefcase, whatever it is. nobody takes it serious while it's on Otis, so hopefully soon they can get that thing off of him somehow. Next up, though, we got a little bit of Daniel Bryan action. He heads to the ring and is cutting a promo in the middle of the ring, hyping up the entire SmackDown roster. Talks about how he can't wait to get in the ring with those men, but he's cut off by, quote-unquote, the Messiah, Seth Rollins. I'm guessing they just ditched the Monday night part. Whatever, I'm cool with it. But Seth comes to the ring upset that Daniel Bryan didn't mention his name when listing the new SmackDown roster. He then offers Daniel Bryan an opportunity to help lead the future of the industry. Daniel basically responds with a hard no. He then starts to call what Seth Rollins is doing, I'm guessing he's referring to the Messiah stuff. He calls that dumb and a bunch of other things, but he calls it dumb about 10 times. Seth eventually cannot handle any more and begins to beat Daniel Bryan, kicking and punching him. Just basically taking out a lot of frustration on him for disrespecting him. He actually says that while he's doing it. He tells him to stop disrespecting him. And Daniel Bryan eventually counters, starts to get in a little bit of action himself. If there were a crowd there, I'm sure they would be losing their minds at that point. But Seth eventually gets out of the ring without receiving too much of damage, and he starts making his way up the ramp. But before he gets up to the top, all of a sudden, this is where it starts getting bad, folks. We hear Rey Mysterio's music hit. And at this point, or before the music hit, I was actually kind of excited. I was looking forward to the possibility of maybe getting a Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan program to kind of just give Seth, you know, a breath of fresh air now that he's on SmackDown. Whenever I seen Dominik and Rey come out, I mean, it just felt like I was watching Monday Night Raw again. I don't know why they continue to put Seth in this, I don't even know what to call it anymore. I mean, it's a feud, but it's been going on for so long, and Seth hasn't actually had a match with any of them in so long that, I mean, I'm not even sure what they're doing with it. But I do have hope that maybe it was, or the baton was passed today to Buddy Murphy as far as the Mysterio family goes, because they chase Seth, Rey and Dominik, that is. They chase Seth back to the ring. They kind of corner him a little bit with Daniel Bryan. Daniel eventually leaves the ring, and it looks like it's about to be a 2-on-1 Rey and Dominik versus Seth until Buddy Murphy's music comes on. He sprints to the ring, slides in, and at first he's hesitant. He looks like he might still be loyal to Seth. He doesn't attack him immediately. He kind of just looks around, has that uneasy look on his face, but eventually he takes him down, starts to hit Seth, and Seth slithers, out of the ring again. He somehow manages to escape two attacks in one segment, but anyway, Seth gets out of the ring, he gets up the ramp, out of the picture, and the focus is turned to Buddy Murphy and the Mysterios, where Buddy's clearly trying to have a babyface turn. He puts his hand out, offers it to the Mysterios, and Dominik right away is just, no, hell no, saying, no, I don't trust him. Looking at his dad, Rey looks kind of at first like he wants to, but he doesn't. They leave the ring. Buddy's very disappointed that they don't shake his hand. But as far as Seth Rollins goes in this, I hope that he is done. I hope that the focus that they put at the end of this segment with Buddy Murphy and the Mysterio family, I hope that that's where this stays. And I'm not even saying that I'm excited to see that whatsoever. I'm just speaking from a Seth Rollins perspective that I hope that maybe Buddy can just take his place as that full role with the Mysterios, if they even need one. I'm not even sure what's going on with that. But I just want Seth to get away from that. Hopefully he gets into this program with Daniel Bryan, but I'm not really sure if you can count on that. So we'll see. I know that Seth's probably going to be a big part of SmackDown's plans going forward, so we kind of just have to weather the storm and see what happens here with the Mysterios. But as many of you guys will agree, I'm over this. if you aren't, I'm sorry. I don't mean to just bury it, but man, you can only do things for so long without taking any steps forward, and this peaked a couple months ago. So I'm just hoping that Seth Rollins can get his character back on track here on SmackDown. But after this, just a little side note here. I'm not sure if you guys caught this, but Jay Glazer, who's a Fox Sports analyst, he had a little cameo here where he was kind of recapping the draft as if he knew anything about it. But he was talking about the people who came over from Raw to SmackDown. But I thought it was funny that even Jay Glazer brought up the Universal Championship match tonight and how Braun Strowman is on Raw and how he can't take the SmackDown Championship to Raw and how it made absolutely no sense. I just thought that was kind of funny how someone who probably doesn't even watch wrestling catches that and just says, what the hell? But that Jay Glazer segment actually probably had more meaning than what happened next, which was the Street Profits versus Ziggler and Rude for the Tag Team Championships. This was just a weird match. I don't even know, honestly, what to think about it because the referee stopped the match because Angelo Dawkins got hurt, I think. And that's what I took from it. They never really addressed it. It was kind of weird because they stopped the match because he got hurt. At least that's what I thought. But Angelo Dawkins got up and started fighting again after the match was stopped. I don't know. Like I said, this was very weird. The announcers immediately transitioned to the SmackDown Women's Championship, so they didn't really even address what happened. So, yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, tag team and SmackDown division, it's not really anything to write home about. So I'm hoping that improves going forward. But like I said, they transitioned to the SmackDown Women's Championship, which was a contract signing monitored by Adam Pearce. And this was kind of what you would expect for the most part. Sasha comes out first. Looks phenomenal, by the way. And Bayley comes out second and has that cocky, arrogant kind of... She's almost taking it like it's a joke. She's not taking it serious whatsoever. Meanwhile, Sasha just has this straight look on her face like, are you kidding me? Like, she doesn't smirk at all during this. I actually loved this Sasha Banks promo because she shuts Bayley up right there just with a really intense promo. She references several things from their past, such as their tag team championship reign, Sasha helping Bayley win the Raw Women's Championship, Sasha calling Bayley whenever she didn't get called up to the main roster, along with the rest of the Four Horsewomen. And also Sasha calling Bayley to be her tag team partner, which ultimately ended up being Bayley's main roster debut. So they pulled back from a lot here. I actually liked it. This was the best Sasha promo I've seen in this Bayley program. She wasn't selling a neck injury. She wasn't in the ring by herself just talking to a camera. She was looking Bayley right in her eyes and making you believe that she's going to beat her at Hell in the Cell, this isn't a prediction show at all, but that's a match. I mean, I'm looking forward to that match a lot. I said it on the last show, and I'm going to say it again. I really, really hope they make this match the main event. But I would not be surprised if the Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, I Quit match is the main event. But I think that the Bayley and Sasha Banks match is going to blow that one out of the water, if we're being honest. But moving on to that Universal Championship match, we have another cross-branded match that was completely unexplained. And Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns. This match, I mean, it was the first ever Universal Championship match on SmackDown. And what kind of sucks is the first ever Universal Championship match on SmackDown ended up being a match where nobody thought that there was a chance that the challenger was going to win at all. But anyway, this match, Roman Reigns comes out of the gate strong. He actually surprised me a little bit. He was manhandling Braun Strowman to start the match. Of course, Braun starts to do his thing on the outside of the ring, kind of taking him over the barricade, slamming him several times. But one thing I noticed here in this match was Braun went for a pinfall on Roman, and Roman went to kick out, and he kind of did like a little low blow type thing, where he hit Braun in the nuts. Excuse me. But that didn't really seem to matter because Braun Strowman was able to regain control of the match later on. So I really wasn't sure what they were going for with that. If they're just going to pull to that, maybe. But that's the thing is I don't know why they would do that if this was a one-off with Braun Strowman. If they're going to try to reference that later on, which is normally what they would do in that kind of situation to say that Braun got cheated out, which didn't really make sense though because, like I said, he was able to still regain control with Roman Reigns until Roman Reigns locked in the guillotine submission, which has anybody ever seen that before from Roman Reigns? I know I haven't probably ever seen Roman Reigns lock in a submission, much less win a match with a submission, because that's what happens as Braun Strowman taps out to Roman Reigns' guillotine lock. But I think what happened after this match might have been more important than the actual match itself. Jey Uso comes out, stands on the stage, he's making eye contact with Roman. Braun Strowman's still in the ring with Roman, but he's kind of, you know, holding his ribs, starting to slowly stand up. While Roman's got most of his attention turned to Jey Uso, he kind of does the little meet the fuckers thing where he's pointing at his eyes and pointing away, like just telling him to watch this, and then he just spears Braun Strowman. And he basically tells him to look so he can set an example to Jey Uso, and he gives him one more chance, and he tells him that if I can do this to Braun, imagine what I can do to you. And then he proceeds to hit Braun with a chair in the back about 15 times. And Jey Uso finally makes his way to the ring. Roman Reigns, which one thing about this really quick is I'm not sure. I really don't see it happen with anybody else other than Roman Reigns. But he's talking a lot with the mic, but you're hearing him just fine, which is cool right now. But if and when fans do come back, I'm not sure how that would work. But it's just one little side note I've noticed about Roman Reigns is a lot of his talking that he does not have a mic. I don't know if it's just when you put that mic in his hand, his promos just drop down about five notches. I'm not sure what I already told you guys earlier, I'm a huge Roman Reigns fan, so not trying to disrespect him whatsoever. I'm just saying I don't know why that's a thing right now. I'm not even trying to get off topic. But anyway, Roman Reigns hands Jey Uso the chair here. And he turns his back to him, basically giving him the free opportunity to hit him with a chair. I mean, he tells him to. He literally says, prove to us right now that you can do this. And Jey Uso throws the chair down. He kind of is playing that, oh, I can't do it, I don't have it in me to do it type thing. And as soon as Roman Reigns turns around, kind of with that smirk on his face, Jey Uso actually hits him and super kicks him. And then he starts to hit him with the chair several times until he was stopped by referees, officials. I'm pretty sure I saw Jamie Noble out there. It's always good to see him. But anyway, he gets held back, and Roman Reigns has enough time to recover, and Superman punched Jey Uso while he's being held by all the WWE officials. So he falls down pretty much unconscious, and Roman Reigns says, that was your last chance, and he leaves the ring. So that's pretty much how SmackDown went off the air right there. They're kind of just still building Roman Reigns, which I love. I think that Hell in a Cell is a week from Sunday, so we'll have one more SmackDown to talk or to build up this a little bit. One thing about I forgot to mention about the Bayley and Sasha contract signing is actually it wasn't a contract signing because Bayley did not sign it. She took off and she left. That's where I was getting to with the one more week of SmackDown. I really think they're probably going to touch into that a little bit, probably to just stretch it and have something to attract the fans, to keep an eye on that next week, which is what I'm going to be doing. But as far as the SmackDown goes, guys, I think that's all I got for you here. It was a hell of a show. I hope that, like I said, I'm going to be keeping track of all this brand crossing stuff and to see if maybe they can stay true to their brand split. I'm going to be watching Monday to see if any SmackDown guys show up. I really hope not. But we will see how that goes. Before I go, though, guys, I actually wanted to give a quick shout-out here to a good friend of mine who is an independent wrestler here in the Texas Panhandle. I'm not sure if any of you guys are familiar with the indie scene, but if you are, you will probably really like this guy. His name's Tino Valentino, and you can find him on Instagram at Tino_Valentino_17. Like I said, he's an independent wrestler here in the Texas Panhandle, but I can give him my stamp of approval. I've seen him in the ring several times. He's charismatic, athletic. He's basically all you, your modern day wrestler as far as just like the skill set. He's great from bell to bell. Like I said, he's really, really athletic. And actually, he has been to the Black and the Brave Wrestling Academy, which is Seth Rollins' school in Iowa. So he is definitely legit, guys. He is trained. And you can see some of his stuff on his Instagram if you guys go check it out. Like I said, that is Tino_Valentino_17. So if you guys want to check him out there. And as far as I go, like I said, you guys can follow me at Michael5Ritter on Twitter. And get your questions in. DM me, at me, whatever you want to do. And we can get those questions on the show. But like I said, guys, that's all I got for you here this week. I appreciate you guys listening. This is still, or I'm still new to this as far as hosting this SmackDown review goes. So I appreciate you guys bearing with me here. I do plan on getting better, obviously, as time goes. So I just appreciate you guys working with me. You guys listening every week really means a lot to those fans who have reached out to me already on Twitter, kind of welcome me here. I really appreciate that. And like I said, I appreciate Matt as well for giving me this opportunity. It's awesome. And I look forward to being back. But as far as tonight goes, guys, that's all I got for you. So I will talk to you next week.